Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right, this is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Episode 404?
Question mark.
Did you hear the question?
Was there a question mark behind that?
There might have been. I don't know.
I think I heard a question mark behind that.
Dude, I don't even know where I am half the time nowadays, but that's
true.
Okay.
That's true.
Just call and burn that candle on both ends. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you so much. All the messages, the follows, all the nice comments. We try to respond to everybody as quick as we can.
Harvest photos,
wearing our merch and pictures.
People buying shit on the store.
Get to everybody as quick as we used to, but no, we appreciate it. It's a good problem to have. Real quick, before we dive on into this episode, go on wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe, like it, leave a comment, anything that just helps us and makes us look not as stupid. We appreciate that a ton. We have a Patreon. We have a $1, a $5, and a $10, and we've been doing like early releases on episodes and stuff like that, and discounts on merch and store, and our store, and we have new merch coming, hoodies, we have thermoseats,
yep,
new hats, new beanies, all that stuff's going to be on the way here.
Give me a little leeway. It is hunt season, so I'm not getting it out as fast as I used to. So
we are on Amazon.
Give him a break. Right.
Give the guy a break.
Give me a little break here.
Small business here. Just let us crank it out. But we appreciate the support. And, also, if you think we cuss too much, maybe listen to a different podcast. If you are down for the cause, the fuck's going on? Welcome to the family. We're glad to have you.
What up?
It's always like, I call it Heath syndrome now. And if you know, you know. But it's always like that. No offense, I'm not like calling anybody out by their age, but there's just like, it's a pattern that I'm seeing. And that's like that 40 to like 55, 60 year old guys that like want to hate on us for what we're doing because it's not 1992 Monster Bucks in North America type videos. You guys know, you guys are laughing, so you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, hey, listen, like, we do what we do. We're not advertising our show to sixth graders. If they want to listen, that's fine,
But this is not what it is. So kiss our asses. Welcome to the family. If you're still here,
welcome.
There's
to
like
family.
Three dudes appalled because their 4-year olds in the back, like, I'm shutting this shit off. And then there's like a bunch of other dudes that just got done welding, and one dude's got a piece of metal on his eye. He's like, fucking right, dude. I'm going to have a beer and I get off work. So glad to have you. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Super thankful for all our partners. Scent Crusher, Loophole, Thermosy, Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Elite, Big Time, Old Barn Taxidermy, and also we are partnered with DeerCast at Drury. We have a link in the description of the episode. You have to use that link and use our code WCB20. Save yourself 20% on a year subscription of DeerCast. And I will say, the shit is accurate. Like, I find myself, of course, you got to be skeptic when you do that stuff, like anything.
Of course.
Judging, for a working class dude, judging what days you apply your hunting, I do think DeerCast is something that can help you decide when and when not to use your vacation days.
Absolutely.
Now, just because it says great on DeerCast doesn't mean you're guaranteed, because you could be a full-blown idiot, and the juries can't fix that.
Right.
But they can tell you that these are probably the better days to hunt than another day. So we can't hold your hand. DeerCast can't hold your hand. But virtually.
Just can recommend it.
Can recommend it.
There's no guarantee in anything. But
we're just being silly. But I actually really like it. So check it out. Or don't. Whatever you want to do. So cool thing about today's podcast is we have two guys from Team Working Class. In the studio.
From a long way away, too.
Very long way.
Yeah. From out east. So, first, shout out to our Pennsylvania listeners. First of all, thank you for buying the Working Class Bowhunter PA hats. I got to think you guys are some of the of our more hardcore supporters.
Yep.
And we have a PA local in the studio. Welcoming. Go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
Yes, sir. Dan Smeltz. I'm from, like, eastern PA.
Yeah.
Mostly hunt northeastern PA.
Right cool, on. Cool. Yeah. Right. Is it like the state divided and like this weird thing? You like you just were quick to like, yeah, but I'm from eastern PA.
If you watch football, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Eagles, Steelers. But other than that, not too much. I mean,
there's
bigger bucks on the western side. They have a 4-point up rule. We only have a 3-point up rule on our side.
Oh, and really?
There's a lot more people. You know, we're close to the city, close to Jersey. A lot of guys jump the border and.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Gotcha.
And then we also have other Team Working Class member.
Sean Polk from Virginia, but mostly hunt. Grew up in Connecticut. Do most of my hunting in Connecticut.
Awesome, man. You guys made the drive out here. You guys are hunting public land in Illinois.
Yep, sir.
I hear grinding.
So we threw together Team Working Class. It was Team Hang and Bang. We changed the name to Team Working Class just because it just makes more sense, I think, anyway. I don't know how you guys feel about it on the team. But you guys didn't know each other before that.
Nope. We just met through that, started talking, and just through social media and the group page and all that. And then we came out for the shoot this summer, rode out together.
Yeah, it seems like you guys have known each other for a lot longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to us, it does anyway, because we don't get to see you guys.
Does it feel that way with you guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we text, like, what, every day pretty much now?
Pretty much, just talking about hunting and planning out the trip and sending trail cam photos. So
you could say shit's getting serious, right?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
Getting weird. It is cool, though. Like,
We
have and we see that a lot with the team. There's only 35 people, roughly, that we kind of just, like, by chance handpicked. We had some trial and error, you know? Get a poacher,
get a
rapist, got to cut them out, you know? It's tough out here.
You know, that'll happen when you choose a bunch of people.
It's tough, you know, like
some bad eggs.
You can't get it all on the first try, you know. But hopefully you guys are neither one of them, and glad to have you.
No. You don't have to worry about that. We're good.
You're wearing the Stop Enabling Poachers t-shirt, right, as we speak, which is great. But no, glad to have you guys on the team. You guys are kick-ass. You guys are two of our scholars, I'd say, on the team. But you guys have always been big supporters, so we're super thankful for that. Yeah. And it's cool to get you guys from out east to the Midwest. Like what was the main drive to come from way out there to hunt Illinois? I mean,
big bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inches.
So is this something that you've thought about for a long time? Have you ever hunted the Midwest? Have you ever thought about it before or got serious about it? Or like, where did this all like start to come out here?
I've hunted South Dakota twice. I mean, I don't know if that's really considered Midwest.
So, Sean, your story, like, okay, before we get into this, I guess, you've been kind of all over a little bit.
Yeah, more than the average person.
And we'll get into that a bit, but let's focus on Illinois right now. I mean, but I don't know where to jump with you, man, like, because you've kind of done
a little bit of everything.
You're a tougher one to interview for that question, because it's not like you haven't left out east.
Yeah, no, I've been all over, but I'm a whitetail guy, so
yeah.
Like, Illinois has always been on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Illinois, Iowa, both those states have always been the giant whitetails, you know, you see on TV.
Sure.
So it's always been, like, on my radar, a place that I wanted to go.
Right.
Then we came out for the shoot this summer, and the day before, like, you know, we camped in the backyard, and we were getting ready to leave the next day, and you kind of just threw it out, like, yeah, you know, you guys, you know, hunt public land or whatever, you guys want to come out, you know. Let me know, we got a place you could crash. And I was like, you know, I don't know. Like, obviously I would want to come out here, but
yeah,
I just didn't know if it would really happen. And then Dan was like, we were talking, and he was really starting to make plans. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I got to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's cool because we talked about it, and then you guys were like, I think we're going to do that. But what I like about it, and more than willing to help you guys in any way. Like, it's cool. You guys are sleeping in the studio and stuff, which is awesome. And I feel bad because I mean, you guys are sleeping on cots and shit, but better than, like, camping, I guess. But,
oh, my God.
Yeah, much better.
In your truck.
It's above and beyond. Like, we just appreciate you giving us a place to crash. Like,
oh, dude.
Super nice.
Of course, man. But it's cool because you guys are just have your own initiative. Like, it's cool to see because you guys aren't like, you want to show me some spots? I've spent very minimal time where you guys are hunting. And I've spent some time, but not much at all. But you guys are just kind of like, hey, we're gonna figure it out. Like, we're going to go, which is cool to see. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's cool that you guys – I just feel like there's not a ton of people that have that initiative. Like, you guys are so into we're going to figure it out on our own type thing, which is like it shows you guys have experience.
Yeah, you think they'd like just show up and like, hey, Kurt, where do I go?
What do you got for
us? Yeah, what do you got for
us? Yeah, which, you know, I would be more than willing to help
you. It's refreshing, actually.
It's cool, man. It's really cool.
I mean, this is really my first public land experience, too.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I've always hunted private. I mean, I've probably hunted public back in Connecticut, like, three times, like, one day a year because my buddy and his dad got a muzzleloader tag that was on public. So, go out there, like, one day just because they were doing it. So, it wasn't a real public land deal. So this is all new to me. Just, you know, show up, scout, find signs, set up, and try and kill a buck.
Right, yeah. Right. What about you, Dan? Have you been anywhere else hunting?
2 years ago, I think. Last year, I went to Kentucky, public land as well, and just literally looked at a map, found a place, and just found an Airbnb and went hunting. Yeah.
It was hotter than hell, dude, that week, wasn't it?
Fucking terrible. It was 100 degrees all week.
Yeah, I remember you texting me sweating your ass off.
So my girlfriend was with me, I was hanging double sets, and hung one set and literally wrung my shirt out.
No kidding.
Of sweat. That's how bad it was. But we still saw deer, which was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You tried talking me to come down with you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, man.
That'd be fun.
I like the weather. I'm like,
because usually, like, obviously 100 degrees, like, you're not going to want to go outside.
No,
you're like, fuck hunting. Like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
But
deer live in it, though.
Yeah, after that trip, I was like, oh, maybe that was kind of stupid every now and then.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to work in, I still work in Jersey, but I had a different job in Jersey. And the guys that I worked with, they had a rule. It's pretty much anytime if it got above 80 degrees, we weren't hunting that day.
Yeah.
And looking at, you know, back now, it's probably pretty stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, you never know.
Right.
My dad killed his buck early this month in Illinois. I think it was
warm.
Almost 80 degrees that day.
Yeah.
You know, but he happened to be like off like a heavy willow patch where it's like low ground shade. Like, but he shot the buck at 6 o'clock early season. You know, which is like there's still plenty of daylight at that time, you know, on the 9th or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think I had to go back and check. I don't know exactly, but early. He shot it early on, plenty of light. So, I mean, coming out, you guys not too familiar with the ground, of course. Like, kind of just going for it, like, at all, really.
No.
What in your head, what's your goal? Because at this point of recording, we're going to try and do a follow-up one depending on what happens and stuff throughout the week. But you've hunted – this is your third day hunting, second day?
Two and a half.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, 2.5.
So what was the goal coming in? Like, what in your head, what would you like to leave with? What would you like to leave with still? Because you're gonna be successful calling it.
I guess my goal is just Pope and Young, really.
Pope and Young.
Yeah.
125.
Yeah. Be realistic about it.
I'd say the same. Maybe a little higher in the beginning of the week, and then once we get, you know, maybe like 135, Yeah. Just be hopeful. I mean, anything over that, oh my God, I'd be thrilled.
Would be a bonus.
Coming from out east, like, we don't have the deer you guys have out here.
Right.
Not even close.
For sure.
But, I mean, if I went home with Pope and Young, I'd be pumped.
Yeah. Definitely. I can see that. That'd be cool. It's interesting. I don't know. It doesn't compare, like, to whitetail, but when I went to Wyoming, like, bear hunting, I had no idea what the hell. I'm like, I just want to shoot, like, what considered, like, a decent one.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, especially, like, you guys are driving out and stuff. Like, you want to see deer. You know what I mean? Like, give us a rundown in the last 2.5 days.
It's been a little rough. Still trying to figure it out. Trying to get on good sign, set up, and, let's see. First day... Well, you had the action the first day.
You want me to start it off and then into you? I mean, I guess the basis was to come in and find where people, if people were hunting, you know, drive around all the spots and see, and there really wasn't anybody, which was kind of baffling, to be honest.
Yeah.
Coming from where we come from, there'd be cars in every parking lot, so.
Especially with the weather that we've been having.
Yeah. It's been dynamite for October
and
here.
DeerCast has been lighting up.
Yeah, yep. Great. Yeah. Great. Every morning, every afternoon, pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sometimes it's nice to run into people because you can use that to your advantage. And now, since we don't have that, we're just literally just kind of going in.
Yeah, yeah.
And we set up around one field, pretty much, was our first kind of just spot we wanted to check out. And I found a scrape and saw 2 bucks, small bucks, that opening night. And then
were you surprised to see those deer?
That early, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you were only set up for probably 35 minutes, and you had that first one come into the scrape, didn't
you? Yeah, it wasn't long. I mean, at first, I was actually kind of getting irritated because it wasn't what I expected, I guess you would say, as far as terrain and like, vegetation.
So the area you guys are hunting is, like, not really typical for what we have. It's, like, different.
It's thick. A lot of it's really, really thick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have terrain, so the terrain kind of helps break it up.
Oh, you're saying, like, hills and all that? Like,
you know.
Yeah, it is just weird down there versus what it normally is. So, I'm following what you're saying.
It's just super flat and pretty sandy. And
yeah.
But, I mean, we got on. We found deer, so that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, a day with nothing, and then today you got into some deer. Well,
Last night I saw a deer, but it was, like, just a flash walking through some real thick shit off to my right. Couldn't even tell what it was, but I just saw that it was a deer, and I was set up on a scrape last night. Not real impressive, but it was the best sign where I had somewhere to set up. Found some better sign in, like, a little field with some like little pine trees sporadically planted around there, but there was nowhere to, you know, on public you can't trim the trees, I couldn't get a stand up in anything.
Right.
But I found some pretty good sign, but I'm not a ground hunter.
It just doesn't feel motivating.
No.
It doesn't feel right.
I'm not the hunting public. I mean, I know those guys somehow get it done, but I don't know how.
Right. Yeah.
I like to hang a stand and feel comfortable.
I like to feel ninja-ish.
Yeah.
You know? So I know we talked a little bit through text today. Did you guys scout? I called it an internal fringe, and we'll just keep it vague like that. Did you guys scout that spot?
That's where we ended up. There was a bigger piece that he went on to, and then I took a smaller piece that I went on to.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sign, but where we ran into sign, we ran into hunters, and that's kind of what I was expecting.
Yeah, all right.
So we're going to work off of that probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had been through that area, I believe, what we were talking about. I had scouted that a little bit in the summer, and I thought it looked bucky. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I can
it
see
feels,
some.
It feels bucky, mm-hmm. for sure.
But it's not far off a road right there. Like, there's like a... Upright?
Yeah. Yeah, there's... Well, the piece that you're talking about's a little bit further west. We're actually more in the center part of the property.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're... We're kind of far... How far do you think we are? A couple hundred yards? What, 500 yards? 600 yards from the road?
It's probably more than that. I don't know. Maybe like 1,000 yards from the road.
If we walk... Yeah, because fire breaks, I guess?
Yeah, fire lanes, and it's like walking through beach sand. It's a pain in the ass.
It's a weird area. It's all like river bottom area. Yeah.
Super sandy down that way.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are going for it. I mean, you guys are putting in the work, and I mean, you're only 2.5 days in. Like, it's...
We got a lot of time left.
We have a lot of time left. And then I have some ideas in my head. Like, I have a couple other spots, like, might be worth going to just drive down there for a day to look at it, and it's not that far.
Okay.
So we'll talk after the podcast, but there's options.
Yeah.
There's options. I mean, I think you guys are doing it the right way. Like, you guys are putting in the work. You're not shying away from walking a little far, hanging stands and hunting. Like, that's recipes for success, man. Like,
yeah,
you guys know what you're doing. You're experienced hunters. So I hope you guys get opportunity at least, you know, or at least see a good one at the very minimum. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I'd like to see that, you know, Midwest quote unquote giant.
Yeah. Even if it's 100 yards away, like we both talked, you know, coming out here, if either one of us killed, we'd be happy. Like,
yeah.
I'd be as happy for him as I would be if I killed it. Like, if one of us gets a buck, it's worth the freaking trip.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still worth the trip regardless. Like, we're having a blast. Like, we're not at work. We're coming out here hunting for a week in the Midwest. Get to hang out with you guys. Like,
yeah.
I mean, this is way better than being at work.
For sure.
That's a fact.
Absolutely.
It's different because this terrain is not the typical Illinois terrain. But, like, what's the main difference so far that you've noticed from here, from back home?
I'd say, well, it's, for the most part, it's pretty much super flat. I mean, like, back home where I hunt, like,
the piece I have in mind is not super flat.
Okay. I like that.
We'll get some maps.
Yeah, I like that. That's more my territory. Yeah,
it's not super flat. It's pinchy and fun.
But walking in is still, even though it's flat, it's still a pain in the dick because you're walking through freaking down the fire breaks and you're walking in beach sand. Oh, and I got insulated rubber boots on that are a motherfucker to walk in.
Somehow you still get sand in your boots.
It's just not fun. Like, I've trimmed crap out of my pack. Like, we both brought cameras. We wanted to sell film, and we're like, screw this.
Fuck off.
That shit's over.
You'll ditch that shit real fast.
That shit lasted a day, and we're like, no, fuck that.
Nope.
I get that completely. That's why I don't film anymore. I want to. It's something I want to do, you know? But
I'll film when we go back home, but I came out here for a reason, and that wasn't the film.
Exactly. So. For sure. Definitely.
I agree with you there.
Well, what advice would you have for someone that wants to come from out east that hunts, and this is all perspective, a typically smaller whitetail state to come to a big buck Midwestern state? What advice would you throw out?
I'd say just be prepared to put in time. Like, you know, don't think you're going to come out here in 3 days and kill a buck.
Right.
You know,
kill 150 inch deer on every tree.
That's what we were talking about today.
Quote unquote.
We were like, we need to make sure everybody knows that they're really not behind every tree.
Right. Well, and the thing is, too, it's like, but then you're going to have guys, I already know this. Well, it's because they're on public and you guys are hunting private. It's not that way on private either. This has been an exceptionally good October this season.
Yes.
It's rare that I've had opportunity often before November. It all depends on the year and what's going on and all that. But, like, me killing my buck on the 25th, that's not an every year thing for me. Like, sometimes it takes me to get into where it's ready, and then that's how I get my opportunity. Like, you know what I mean? So
just the weather here has been odd this year.
In the Midwest, people were – normally it's like, all right, we're going to wait till late October before we get thinking about the bucks. And people are working to find the bucks always, right? But a lot of people will shoot does early season when they're not seeing buck movement and all that. But right out the gate, our opening weekend was insane. Guys automatically are like, bucks, let's get in. What are the bucks doing? Let's get on. That's what I felt.
Temperatures plummeted, and it was just a weird time around here.
Yeah, everyone just went straight to, like, ruddy type weather is what it was. Like, prime time, what you want weather right out the gate.
We had snow yesterday morning.
Yeah.
That was nice.
So this is not typical for your average year, you know?
That's like when we, like, about a week ago when we're getting close enough where we could really see what the forecast was going to be like, and we're texting back and forth, like, and in the team page we're like, between deer cast and, you know, with the pressure and the weather, and then seeing what the forecast was, we're like, holy shit,
you guys kind of picked a better week out.
No,
and we just winged it. I mean, if it wasn't for Corona, I wouldn't be here. I was supposed to go to Colorado was an option, and then Iowa was an option because I got I would have had 3 points at that time. So, you know, if it wasn't for Corona, I
probably wouldn't have been here either, because I was supposed to go to Africa in May, right. So I probably wouldn't have had an extra week of vacation to come out.
Yeah, and going back to the private land, public land, like, I'm pretty much over that whole nonsense.
We talked about this last night or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you put us in a private piece, we're still not going to probably shoot anything right off the bat.
Well, okay, let's go back because I like – we talked about this yesterday for a little bit. We were up bullshitting. By the way, everybody from out east that I've experienced or everyone that we've met through the podcast from out east, killer cooks. You guys can all fucking cook. Like we
– that's a good point. That's true.
We cooked deer heart last night. Well, no. I cut up the deer heart. You guys cooked it. And then you guys made duck poppers. I was like, I was the only one talking about how good it was. I felt like I was being ridiculous. I'm like, this is the fucking best deer heart I've ever had. Like,
I got some more poppers I forgot about in the cooler. I'll leave with you,
dude. So good.
And they always bring good ass food.
Yeah, you guys are just on it. I don't know what it is, but we talked about the. I just kind of like mentioned it, and Dan started screaming at me. public, private stuff. You're like, dude, I'm so fucking over that. And you kind of went off, but like. What you feel that conversation is coming up a lot out your way too?
Oh yeah, and at the end of the day, it just comes down to how much work you put into a piece. Like,
yeah,
you can't bash somebody who's been hunting a private piece for 4 years and put in the work and learn the property. Like, it's not their fault that they know the property,
right?
Sure.
So you don't agree with the mindset from somebody out east or down south that thinks that there's 150s around every tree in Iowa and Illinois?
Yeah, there's definitely not. I mean, you still got to put in your work. There might be a better opportunity out here.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's good deer.
They
gotta
live. They have to live there.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You know, there's good deer. It just might be more of an opportunity out here.
Yeah.
So if you had a private piece out here, you guys are hunting public now. Would you do anything different? Say you had a private piece out here, scouting wise.
I'd say, I mean, you still gotta find the sign, still gotta find the deer. Maybe put some more trail cameras up versus what we're doing now.
Right.
You know, I mean, what you put two out,
yeah.
But I mean, you still gotta find where the deer are.
There's not right. a lot of difference.
There's not much difference.
No, no, there's exactly. not. I mean, we ran into the DNR guys today. Well, yesterday and today,
mm-hmm.
and he said that we're the only people he's seen out here. Since Sunday.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So awesome.
That's actually good to hear.
Yeah, effectively. Yeah.
Especially
like
with, with the weather that you guys have been having.
It's hard for me to believe because I'm a measurer, right? So I've measured some big deer out of the area you're hunting, and I've talked to guys that hunt it, but I just wonder if the mindset is everybody thinks that there's a ton of people out there.
Well, they were also saying, because they were like, I guess they saw the truck the day before they talked to us, and I guess some of the public pieces, you have to print those windshield cards.
Yeah, yeah.
That has, like, your license number and, you know, so they know they see a vehicle, they know how many people are hunting and whatnot.
Who you are, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they were like, yeah, we saw your cards yesterday. We're glad to see, you know, you're following the rules, blah, blah, blah. And they said that a lot of the local guys, you know, they think it's too much of a hassle. They don't want to mess with it. So they say, screw it, we're not going to hunt here.
Yeah. Well, they probably have
just that little effort.
Yeah, yeah. All you have to do is get online,
put
your license number in and print it out.
The majority of people are lazy and don't want to put any work into it. And I kind of, this hasn't launched by the time we're recording this, but in podcast land, I went on my almost getting shot by a fucking crossbow hunter rant. I have nothing against crossbow hunters, but what my point was that stuff like that allows people to cut corners and it attracts lazier people than the normal dedicated average hunter. So I hope that clarified my fucking rant, but I almost got shot. So cut me.
Yeah, that story's
great. Yeah, you're allowed to rant.
Yeah.
Give me a little slack. Yeah. Right. Almost took a rage of the cage.
Yeah, didn't go 20. Yeah, I wouldn't have went 20. I would have went probably 4 foot.
I don't know if I'd go 2 feet.
Or then like, right?
Ouch!
My character's just like, oh, my dude, something. Terrible shot, please. But you won long me, you piece of shit.
Something bit me.
It jumped up and bit me.
Anyway, I figured because I've been told that by guys out east, like, you know, you only kill bucks like you do but they don't understand because I've known guys as long as I've been hunting that have never killed a deer of 130, and nothing against that. It's just what it is, but. For people that don't live here, they just think it's like a cakewalk. Like the piece that I killed my buck on while you guys were here, I was hoping I was going to kill a deer while you guys were here just for the experience, but this is my fourth year hunting that ground. And we had this conversation before,
before the podcast.
Yeah. I was like, it's taken me 4 years to feel confident in knowing what the big mature bucks are doing.
Yeah.
And that's not because I sat in the same observation stand and went lazy. It's because remember the first year I hunted this piece, Kurt Hanging Stands Geyers when you gave me that name, because I bet you I hung
fucking 30 stands
or more, and like Walmart fucking stands, like Walmart Ameristep hang-ons.
Oh, yeah. What, you were saying last night you wore the bottoms off your boots from hanging stands.
Dude, I burned out those Crispies and I just bought these Danners. The fucking sides of them are shredded already.
On the Danner?
That's crazy.
Yes.
I don't know shit.
I got to do something. I got to get like... Dude, I need Adidas, hit me up, man. Let's collab. You know what I mean? Like, Under Armour dropped the Bomars. Pick me up. Let's work together. You know what I'm saying? What's up, Bomars? See you later, you know?
That might be soon.
I heard Under Armour's not any better, so.
No.
I haven't heard of it. I knew a guy who bought the
Cam Haynes ones.
Yeah.
And blew them out right away.
He bought them. He has more money than me. He bought them, went hunting in them.
Obviously. And Cam Haynes on them, cheap.
I won't say his last name, but my buddy Tyler sitting here listening to the pod, Jason. So I bought them boots, man. I wore them one time. He's kind of got like a central Illinois in certain areas.
Central,
has
southern
like a,
Illinois.
Has like a twang.
Yep.
He's like, I bought these boots, man, and I went out and I fucking threw them things right in the trash when I got home. This fucking piece of shit. They're uncomfortable. I'm like, why don't you just return them?
Things are
fuck that.
I got time
for
that.
They're hideous as shit.
Whatever. I don't care how they look, but I just want them to feel right, you know?
Yeah, their shoes are trash. Don't buy them.
The Under Armour ones are?
Yeah, they're trash. My buddy, I'm not going to say his name because I don't even know if he's supposed to be doing this, but he gets 50% off of Under Armour. So I was like, dude, hook me up with a pair of these like Under Armour whatever.
I said you had a pair
boots.
One time, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I didn't get the fat tires because those look stupid as shit, but I just right. got like regular hiking boots.
Right.
And I literally broke them, like ripped them out in a month.
No kidding.
Yeah, just hanging trail cameras. Like, I wasn't hanging stands. I wasn't doing that shit.
Yeah. Wow.
Just
walking in
there. They literally just fell apart.
I think I just...
It's hard to find a good fucking boot anymore.
Well, and you don't know how good the boot is until you wear it for a while.
Yeah, because you can walk around the store, you can put on, like, yeah, this is comfortable, but then once you put 3 miles on, you're like, yeah,
I will tell you, though, if I didn't hang... And I don't know, I just must walk weird or, like, how I hang stands and stand on the sticks or whatever. Maybe I do something weird that normal people don't. I don't know. But, like, they're getting... I've had them for not even a month.
On our way back from South Dakota.
Yeah, bought them brand new. I like them, they're not going to last me another year.
I got a pair of leather Cabela's. I think they're like outfitter boots. Mm-hmm. I've had those things for 10 years.
No shit.
Really? They're like solid. The Cabela's brand?
Yeah.
See, I think I just got when I blew up my Crispies, the bottoms of them, I think I just got a faulty pair. I'm convinced because I know so many hardcore dudes that have them.
Of the Crispies?
Clint Casper has been rocking the same exact pair of boots that I have for years.
Like hundreds of miles on those things.
Way more than I've ever put on them, and his are fine.
I have Crispies. I don't have nearly the miles that probably you and definitely not what Clint has. But,
yeah.
I mean, like everybody raves about
Crispies. I love my Crispies, man. I did love them. But I was hunting. I'm like, man, my feet have been hurting. And I looked at the bottom, like there's like chunks missing, and it's like it looks like someone took a razor blade and just sliced the bottom of them.
Well, it's like you said. I mean, some people just walk, you know, different. So maybe I don't know.
I think it's just from standing on sticks and pivoting on the metal sticks,
just scraping them and
yeah. Like rubber boots. I don't know how we just dived into boots all of a sudden.
We did,
but like rubber boots. Cover. I will burn out a pair of rubber boots faster than anybody, and I'll put money on it.
It must be the way you're walking or something, dude.
It's the way I hang stands.
Maybe.
I'm just getting after it.
Just a hustler, dude.
Just a hustling.
So, moving back to hunting, we just talked about gear. We're all over the place. Welcome to the podcast.
Okay. What kind of gloves do you guys run?
I don't wear gloves. Just kidding. Fun fact. And my hands pay for it.
I don't wear gloves either.
I have, like, no nerves in my hands.
Because I'm tired of them being cold.
I'm like the dude from Happy Gilmore. With the wooden hand?
Chubbs?
Yeah, I'm like Chubbs, but except I have my hand still. Seriously.
You get bitten off by an alligator?
I'll tell you, bad. One thing about hunting out here, everything sticks to my fucking pants.
Yeah.
My pants.
Tag-alongs and
stickers?
All the shit.
Dude, City?
My pants are covered in thousands of them. I might as well just fucking throw those Sitka pants away. I don't even want them. I'll buy new ones.
You don't have that out east?
Not like that.
You watch out for
them.
You gotta watch out for them stickers.
They're just take a butter knife and sit outside and just
They make there's a thing called a burr paw.
Are good.
I need to buy one because I have a pair of pants that's like that. I went and hung a stand. I did a hang and bang and walk through spot that just I had to get to a spot. So I just like an asshole walk through a bunch of shit and it's just like this block you pretty much rub and it gets them all off.
Butter knife. I gotta get that then because I have shit everywhere on my pants. Thousands of things stuck to my pants, and I don't even know why I'm trying to pull it off because by tomorrow they're going to be right back.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, it's something to do in the stand. Kill time, you know.
Tonight I was sitting there and we were in there from probably like 2:30 till dark, which I think shooting time and it was like 6:35 or something like that. Yeah. So I'm sitting there, sitting on a fresh scrape, and I could smell buck. Like coming off the scrape, smell like rutting buck, and I'm like, I'm texting Dan, and I'm like, oh, this is just money. Like I'm sitting here, and I could smell neon. Buck.
Yeah.
So nothing, and I was sitting on like this old field with pines and stuff, and I could actually see like a good, I could probably could have shot at least 45, 50 yards in some directions. So I'm like, something's gonna come through here. Last 10 minutes of daylight in the pines, real thick pines behind me, I hear something coming, and it was $2. Ended up, the first one was a spike, and like Shad probably would have smoked his ass. He wasn't a trophy spike, but he was a spike.
And he was an up and comer.
Had him at 5 yards right to my right, but I don't know if he caught like the thermals dropping because my wind was good. It was blowing away from him, but he kind of stopped right on the edge. And then I had probably a basket rack 8 right behind him coming.
Yeah.
So I didn't really see how big he was yet, and I knew it was prime time, so I was standing up the last 35, 40 minutes holding my bow in my hand, just knowing that it could be any minute.
Yeah.
Where I was tucked in a pine. I was only 2 sticks high because the way the branches were, I couldn't get any higher without, you know, I'm public. It sucks. You can't trim shit.
Yeah.
So I was only 2 sticks high, so I was just ready because if they came from like the edges of the fields, they were gonna be right on top of me.
Yeah.
So I had my cam rested on my pant, like on my thigh the whole time. So then I saw the second buck coming and I was like, I didn't think he was big enough, but I was getting ready just in case he was like, bigger than what I thought he was.
Was he borderline, you think?
Nah, not this early.
right.
But you just seen another deer coming behind him, so you're like, I'm getting fucked.
Yeah, you got to get ready because you might, like, your eyes, next thing you know, he's a 145, and you're like, oh, son of a bitch.
Shit.
So I had the cam rested on my leg, and I had all those motherfucking things stuck on my pants. But when I moved it, it made a noise, and they kind of spooked back, like, 10 yards into the pines.
Goddamn birds.
Mm. Yeah, and then they froze. Sticker. Like, they didn't... Sticker.
You might have to swing into a Farm King and see if they got one of those, like, bird paw things. I don't know if they carry them, but, like, a farm store. Like, Farm King is, like...
Or a butter knife. I'm telling you, it works like a dream.
Really?
If you wear the pants, I always put them on. I sit in my garage and... They come right off.
I don't know if it's going to work with those pants, though, like, because it's not like those pants. They're real fuzzy, so they're like, in the pants.
They're a little bit of fuzz there.
That's going to be tough.
The Sitka just has, like, flamboyant built into them.
Well, yeah. Some of them burn them. Sitka and some other gear just have, like, they're literally burr magnets. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, that's why dude, I know how to get rid of them. Do one of those boot flip TikToks. That'll probably take care of it.
Yeah. I'm going to do it right in the studio, right in front of the
you should. It'd probably bring you some clout.
Red logo. Yeah.
Or just spray them down.
Just a pile of birds everywhere.
Just spray them down with Pam before you go out. They don't stick to it.
Hey, there you go.
I want to do one of those boot flips, and I'm going to flip the boot, and when it comes back, it's just going to be middle finger. Fuck you.
Hey, you know what? Really, you should do this because I did it once. I had all those birds all over my pants and all my clothes, and I just threw them into the washer. And then for like 2 weeks, all your clothes will just have those on them.
Your towels,
dude. Your towels. Your wife will,
especially your wife's clothes, will have them all over them.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me how I know.
She's been there. What's up, Eric?
Been there, dog.
You use a towel in the shower, and you're just like, ah, what was that? It just burned.
I always pick them off with my fingers, and I always get like one will spike me, and then it's a splinter, and I'm like, this is great.
Oh, I got like 3 different types that are stuck on the pants.
There's the big ones. There's the little ones that are the worst.
There's these big long spikes that look like they're not sharp, but they look like they would fucking kill you.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Then there's like the little like ball shaped ones that have the prickers all over them, and then there's like the little like ones that look like
tiny
ones,
like the dead. Like the dead ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know what's funny?
I feel your pain.
By us sitting in there, picking them off our pants and throwing them below our tree stands, we're just spreading them.
Oh, yeah. Spreading the seed.
We're making out so much.
Bunch of
next
assholes.
Spring, they're going to be everywhere.
So what's the move like going from here forward? Like, what's the plan?
Well, we're going to probably hunt the same spot tomorrow morning.
So you guys seem like you have signed, like, scrapes and everything.
Yeah, we've had to put...
You're not doing anything wrong, I don't think.
No. It's just we just got to learn the property. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, from here on out, for me, I don't know exactly what Sean's going to do. But I'm just going to... If I don't see anything in the morning, I'm going to pack up, move, find sign, set up. set the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then leave that stand up, come back in the morning and just rinse and repeat.
Because you guys run all day, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I'll probably start cranking it up here towards, you know, the later half of the week.
Yeah, because it's just gonna get better.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I think you guys are doing it right. And you're never going to learn it anywhere in 2 days. I don't care. You could hunt at a high fence ranch, and
yeah, especially, I
mean, that might be a lie, but
places thousands of acres,
right?
Yeah,
it takes time. Like 2 days is not enough time. But the cool thing about it is, you guys have taken the initiative to come out and do this. Even if this trip isn't successful as far as like a kill is concerned, you've learned a ton. So if you guys come back,
yes,
you're already a step ahead of where you were on this trip. So it's just a matter of time. Like, you guys do this again and then come back again in a couple of years or something, whatever. You guys are setting yourself up to kill a big Midwestern buck. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. I would definitely do it again next year if we got the vacation time and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool having somebody, you know, we met up halfway out in Ohio and
rode
the West. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was super nice.
Another example of like how cool our team is.
Yeah, I just hit him up because, you know, it would have been a little counterproductive for me to drive 6 hours north to meet Dan and then drive, 15 hours west.
Right. Yeah.
Instead, I just kind of angled up and I knew, you know, Damien, or actually we were talking about it on the group page, and Damien's like, look, if you guys need to make a pit stop, I'm not far from I-80. So I messaged him. He's like, hey, man, would you be cool if we met up there and I just left my car there? He's like, yeah, no problem, man.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I didn't want to hinder him. I was like, you know, let's leave it on the street or whatever. I just don't want to leave it like a truck stop and come back and it's towed.
Sure. Right.
He's like, dude, are you kidding me? He's like, leave it in my driveway. He's like, don't fucking worry about it.
So that's awesome.
That's a cool thing about how we kind of, like, the family we kind of build around this podcast.
It's cool as shit. I love it, man.
And then we stopped and we talked with him for like an hour and a half and looked at his freaking giants
his
on the wall.
His house is insane.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Studs on the wall.
Yeah. He makes me feel bad about myself, but inspiring also. Chandler's place will make you feel that way, too.
We got to check that out.
Yeah, that's on the list of things to do out here.
Yeah, Chandler's place will humble you real quick.
Yeah, you're just like, I'll let you shoot shit. I don't know if I can hold out.
Oof, yeah, it'll humble you guys.
You don't have, yeah, you don't
we're
have
to, from the east.
Yeah,
you see his room, and then you see the bottle of whiskey behind there, like, yeah, I feel bad about myself. I'm going to start drinking.
I don't have a deer on the wall that probably any of you guys would shoot at this point in your career. I have some.
I don't know if I'd say that, but
I mean, I got some good deer for out there, but I mean, you don't have to worry about humbling us.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you guys got out here because you guys have been staying in the studio for the whole time you've been here so far. And I shot – I told you guys about my game plan and stuff, and I shot a doe.
Oh,
I guess I could tell this story, but I mean, I also want to talk about some more public land stuff. Are we kind of caught up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We basically got all of our encounters in there.
Yeah, I kind of talked to you guys about my game plan. I'll just tell my doe story quick because it's a good story.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal story.
So, yeah, I did a hang and bang. I ended up leaving the stand there. Set up. You know, you go in, you just like, there's like options, but not great options. And you like hem haul and you're looking around. But this spot I was going to, it's like three draws come down into one, like low bottom.
Yep.
But all the trees are just straight, like climber trees, no cover. And I just know, I'm like, dude, in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, I'm going to be like the dude. I use this analogy. The dude's up front of the car lot, the fucking blow up guys. Like, that's going to be me in the tree, you know? So I just found the one tree that had another really leafy tree in front of it and butted up my stand right up into that. And it's like weird because there's hills. You can't get up above anything to where you want to be to make any shots. You're kind of low. So if a deer comes from behind you in one spot, he's like eye level with you.
Yep.
But if he comes from this way, it's like beautiful.
This is exactly how the spot is I'm going to tomorrow.
So, I mean, you can't have it all.
Right.
So you kind of have to pick and choose and just kind of be aware. So I'm sitting there, and I'll kind of tell the story sort of quick so I'm not dragging it out. But I had these does run in, two does run in, and I'm like looking. I'm like, is there a buck chasing them? But they're acting kind of weird. And they kind of stopped in the bottom, and then the one big doe ran up and, like, I guessed her for 20 yards. It would happen quick, so I didn't have time to, like, range. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's probably 20. So I held, like, center lung and caught her a little low, like, perfect pass through everything. But I was like, a little low, maybe a touch back. I'll give her some time. She runs to the end of the draw where I'm like, perfect. She'll lay down there, be great. I can get right up to her, easy drag out by myself. Well, then, like, 5 minutes later, here comes two more does running down, same spot and everything. Run down to the bottom, do the same thing, and they're like looking around all frantic. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is there a buck in there running circles, chasing all these does around? I'm like, well, maybe I'll shoot a buck too. So I'm sitting there and I hear what sounds just like a horror movie scream and commotion coming back to me from where my doe went. And I'm like, what the hell? And I look up and where my doe was bedded, a coyote got on my doe and ran her back down to me into the thick shit. And basically she was laying down to die up where she went, came back down. And of course that burst of like, oh shit, energy just wiped. She was done. And then this coyote is like, cool, I didn't have to do anything. And starts tearing up my doe.
Yeah.
Like gets into my exit hole. So I don't know. I think I hit a stick that I didn't know or a twig because it went in like liver area and came out. The exit hole was like in front of the back leg. And I don't know. Did you guys go out and look at the doe hanging? Did you see the entry?
I didn't look that close. I mean, I went and took a look at it.
So
but
It hit the branch and deflected. And
I don't know if it hit a branch, but I don't know how it could have happened because she wasn't quartering to me hard or anything like that. Who knows? I don't know.
Hit a rib and deflected, maybe.
Tyler helped me like hang it up and clean it. He's sitting here. The exit was like, the entry was good. Exit was like weird. It was just, I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. And I never found my arrow, and I had a lighted knock and everything. So I must have hit something. I don't know. I can't explain it. Which sucks, you know, but it's just part of what happens. Anyway, he starts tearing out the exit hole, the coyote, on this doe that's down in this bottom. And it's like,
and you're watching all this.
Yeah, I'm yelling at him. I'm yip, yip, barking at him, doing the whole seeing if I can just distract him to get him to like run and look. And he's just going to town. And I have this leafy tree. It's not a big tree. It's just this little one that's still holding his leaves. And I find a pocket and range 30 yards. I'm like, I'm shooting this thing because he's going to tear up that doe. I body him, whap him 30 yards, and he rolls like 10 foot. I'm like, huh, sweet. So I got a dead doe that's down in the fucking Grand Canyon for Illinois and a coyote down. So I get down. I go get the coyote. I'm not a coyote hunter. I haven't killed a lot. I killed a handful of coyotes. Biggest coyote I've ever seen.
Right.
Personally, heaviest coyote. I'd say 35 pounds. I don't know. Big.
It's a good size.
Prettiest coyote I've ever seen. First coyote I've ever shot that had a full coat and everything.
Yeah.
But
he had nice hair.
Just stinky, man. Yeah. He had beautiful hair. He had six fingers on each hand. So I get the coyote out, and I get the doe out, which was brutal. I didn't want to gutter down there because it's the same spot a couple podcasts ago where I'm like, I was going to shoot that doe, but I passed her because I know I was going to come back and kill a buck. But I told these guys, I like to shoot shit.
Yeah, we're driving. We're on our way out here, and I look at the clock, like literally 30 seconds before you called us, and I was like, oh, it's about time. I wonder how Kurt's doing. You know, it's about that time. Next thing you know, the phone rings, and you're like, well, shot a doe. Probably shouldn't have done it, but I like to shoot shit. I was like, you know what? That's the most honest freaking answer.
But I like to shoot shit.
Yeah. Well, what's...
Well, like, going back on the coyote thing, like, Doug's the 18-inch G2 buck you shot.
Yeah.
We waited... He shot it. We waited an hour and a half, maybe.
I forgot about this. Dude,
like, and we went in, and that thing was destroyed on...
The exit hole destroyed.
I believe it, because I was watching... I'm not kidding.
Like, you can see the whole ribs. You can see the whole rib cage. Like, it ate the whole one side of it all the way out.
Within
an hour.
Within minutes, this coyote had the guts starting to rip out of the exit hole.
Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy.
Minutes. Maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes. Like, not exactly. And I'm like, and it's going to town. Like, not wasting any time. And that's the reason why I got down early. If that coyote would have been there, I would have waited, sat till dark, and then went and got the doe. Sure. But then I'm like, every deer is blown out of here. All those, you know what I mean? All the commotion, the coyotes in there. And I'll take a coyote out and get down early and take care of all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like well worth it in my book. I got down. And that's what I got. Once I got out and got back on the road, that's when I called you guys. And right when I called, I'm like, it started ringing. I'm like, oh, fuck, they're going to think I shot a buck. Like, I'm calling at that, like, awkward time, you know?
Right.
So yeah, there was a long pause where, like, well, and then it was like that little pause. I shot a doe.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, fuck.
He's kind of building you up a little bit.
Yeah.
We're waiting for it. I shot a doe.
Yeah, for sure.
But the coyotes have become a problem because where that one stole my trail camera last year, that property is my best property. It's tiny, but I've always got big bucks all year long. And this year, I had super nice deer early, and then now all of a sudden I got three coyotes almost every other night and no deer around.
We got a ton of them back east, too.
Mm-hmm. I was hunting insane around here.
I was hunting a cut cornfield back home in Connecticut and had a bunch of deer out there, but they were all too far. And I was sitting there and it was getting dark, and I was like, damn. I was about to text my brother-in-law, see if he could drive into the property and, you know, clear the field for me because I didn't want to blow him out of there because I had all week to hunt.
Yeah.
And I start hearing coyotes howling. And they're kind of buck. There's a buck and a bunch of does, and they're all like looking around, kind of on edge. And then I hear one like sound like he's right next to me because there's a hay field right next to the cornfield. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of really start going nuts. And then I hear behind me, there's like multiple ones that sound like they were chasing something because I hear them moving all through the timber.
Yeah.
And then they finally just got the hell out of the field. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, I can get out of here clean now. And then next thing you know, I see that the one that was coming from the hay, I heard howling in the hayfield, he starts freaking running right down the edge of the field right next to me. I'm like, oh, shit. So I draw back real quick, and I should have tried to stop him, but it happened so quick that he was just kind of trotting by me, and I shot right behind his ass, and I was so pissed.
You always want to get him, you know?
You always want to get him.
It's eerie, though, because I've been hunting that same property where the coyote stole my camera, and like, at night, you can hear them howling. They get closer and closer, and you're still in the stand. It's still shooting hours, and you get down, and you're like, I got to walk through a waterway for probably half a mile, and they're still howling closer and closer. And you're like, it's creeping me out.
I'm not scared of coyotes.
I would kick a coyote in the teeth so quick.
Coyotes are not something that crosses my mind of being scared of, for me.
When I'm not scared of them, but when they howl, like, it does give you like that little eerie feeling.
It gives you a weird feeling.
Right. Oh, eerie, so, for sure.
I will
especially when they're getting closer and closer, and you're like, I'm surrounded by corn. I don't know where the fuck they're going to pop out at.
I will say they would rip you up, like, if a bunch of them got on you. Like, if they were all the size of the one I shot, I would be, like, a little concerned. But I'll tell you, like, I'm kicking them in that soft spot. You know what I mean?
Like, and this spot's right by the river bottom, so it's like
echoing through it. Yeah.
And it sounds like there's 20 of them, which there's probably only three or four. But
yeah, I hate them. But they're the one spot where I have a cell cam over on the side. I hunted and shot that doe and the coyote. Since after that day, just coyotes and less deer. So I don't know what's going on. I didn't gut my doe down there, and I didn't leave the coyote. I took them both out fully because of that reason, and I want to go back there, you know, without.
Exactly.
Without.
The one thing that why I'm so weird about coyotes, I was hunting down in Burlington with Doug's brother, and I shot a doe, and he was like, okay, I'll go get the truck. You know, you sit here and gut it, whatever. It's pitch dark out. And there, down there, there's coyotes everywhere. I mean, they're howling.
Literally everywhere.
Everywhere. They're howling. And you can kind of hear them getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there, I'm gutting this deer, I'm gutting it, and headlamp on. And I'm probably, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away from the tree line, and I look over, and there's probably 10 sets of eyes looking at me.
Really?
Oh, yeah, just right in the tree line, and I'm like,
oh, I'd be eerie, like, weary about them then, too.
Because they just, like, they were howling, and just immediately stopped.
And they were right there?
I'm like, something's not right here, you know? I keep going. I just kept looking over, and all of a sudden, eyes. And I'm like, all right, that's it. I left the gut pile. I wasn't even done gutting yet. I left what was done. I grabbed that doe and just took off running.
You just toss them a little bit, and they'll leave you alone.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys can have all this guts and shit. Like, you guys can have all that, but I got to take this doe with me.
Yeah, that's what's nice about PA. You can conceal carry while you bow hunt.
Oh, really? Because,
you know, we have coyotes, too, like a lot of them. But
you guys have bears out there, too.
Yeah, that's the problem is the bears. We have a lot of fucking bears.
See, that would not be cool.
I'm not messing with bears, man.
Dude,
I don't fuck with bears.
Well, Sean's up here talking about being scared of coyotes, and you just told me a story last night how you got lost in Alaska, and yeah. there's like brown bears up
and
there.
Fucking wolves and shit.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. That was
so like, explain this a little bit, and we don't have to dive too deep into this, or like we can go any direction you guys want to go with this podcast. But your old man is like Jim Shockey's long lost brother. It seems like
Jim Shockey's like his. Like hero, like he thinks Shockey's the man. Like my dad, the easiest way for me to describe it to people is if you name an animal, he's probably killed it and has it mounted in his house.
Yeah, you showed us pictures of your old man's trophy room, and it's like
it's unbelievable.
It's like something you would see on like a Tom Miranda video, like leather bound books. And I just feel, is that your dude, your dad? Is he like leather bound book, like in cigars guy in his trophy room while he pets ivory?
He likes cigars.
Like Jumanji shit or what?
Yeah.
He's more of like a truck driver, you know, construction worker type of guy, but just happens to look at a lot of vagina and make a lot of money to go on those trips.
Okay. Either I want you to explain that or I don't want you to explain that. That way our listeners are like, what? And we'll just leave it. I was going to like say it, make a joke, but I didn't want to put it on blast. So it's like, you either have to elaborate or don't, but you got to understand I'm going to get a lot of questions about that.
He's a gynecologist. And
there it is.
OBGYN. So he delivers babies and looks at vagina every day.
Okay.
That's right.
That clarifies
the good,
that.
The bad, and the ugly.
Could be an awesome job or really terrible one.
Depends on the day.
Probably more terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
He says not at all. It's cracked up to be.
I bet it's not.
I told you the stories that aren't even acceptable for this podcast.
Yep. He earns his money. Earns that money. But he's done it all. Like,
yeah. I mean, he's been to Africa probably 15 times. He's hunted Australia, New Zealand, Alaska numerous. I mean, I was showing you pictures of his feet from his frostbite on his moose trip in Alaska in September.
Jeez. That's insane. Yeah, this last September.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
That's insane, dude. So, because, and if people go back, like we did the podcast with you about the Mexican turkey.
Yep.
And I don't know, that's probably like not what they're called, but you were in Mexico hunting turkeys, turkeys.
It's a great name.
It is. It's cool.
You
it's like
on tacos.
The Chinese virus, you know. Everyone's like,
China.
It comes from China. So, like you have experience. Like you're traveled in your hunting game.
Yeah, I mean, nowhere's near like my dad. I mean, my out of the country has been Canada a couple times and Mexico. But I mean, I've been been a fair amount of places around the United States hunting different things.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to tell the Alaska story. I thought it was cool as shit.
Yeah, I'll tell that. So my freshman year of college, I think it was 2004, like Thanksgiving, me, my dad, and my dad's best friend went to Alaska to hunt, to Kodiak Island to hunt Sitka blacktail deer.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad's best friend doesn't hunt at all. Like he's not against hunting, but he's just not a hunter. He's like, he loves animals, but he doesn't like look at hunting like it's a bad thing. He just likes to go.
I get,
you know, like he likes to go with the guys and experience new things and see new places.
It's for the experience.
Yeah. So he's been on a lot of trips with my dad, and like,
just he's a glorified granola hiker.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Right.
So we go up there and
pretty good analogy.
You know, we fly up, you know, it's like, I don't know how many flights we had to take to get to where we were going. And we're in this camp that's on Kodiak Island, and you're in this little bay, but you're out in the middle of nowhere. And we would take this little John boat on the bay, and then they go up to a spot on, like, I call it mountains, but it's not like, you know, not like 15,000 feet like Colorado mountains, but I mean, it's still a mountain. You know, we park on the beach. So then we go up, and I end up shooting a deer first day, and, you know, we quarter it up, clean it up, skin it and all that, and pack it in our packs. So the guide looks at me and my dad's best friend and says, you know, we got a couple hours of daylight. You know, we have the meat and the hide and the antlers in our packs. He's like, you know, walk this direction. You'll hit a creek and follow it downhill until you get to the boat and just, or to the beach, and go to the boat, eat your lunch, And
so he's telling you this because you already killed, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he was going to stay with my dad, and they were going to hunt the last couple hours of daylight.
Just all I can picture is just you being like, yeah, trying to listen.
No big deal.
And then be like, yeah, dude, I got this. Yeah, the beach. Can't miss the beach.
And then they walk away, and then you're like, I don't know what the fuck I just listened to.
Yeah, and I'm
what do you say?
I'm
what?
18 at the time, so like I was probably like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, fuck
sure,
you, guy. Sure, I know. Yeah. I know what a beach looks like.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if my idea of a creek and his idea of a creek are totally different.
Well, is it creek or creek?
Creek or creek, that's
stream. The only thing we came across that I thought was like could have been considered a creek was like down this steep gorge, and it's like this freaking river. And I'm like, holy shit, like I don't think this is what he was talking about.
So are
about.
You by yourself at this
no,
time?
No, it's me and my dad's buddy.
Okay.
The granola hiker.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm just kidding. No offense, man. I know you probably listen to this, or maybe you won't.
He's a granola hiker. He cuts his own hair, and yeah, he's like a hermit.
Okay,
but
sweet. Efficient.
So
saving a dollar.
So we're
makes
walking.
His own salsa. Does yoga on the weekends, you know.
So
drives the Subaru with the Kogs the sticker on the bumper.
Pretty sweet.
yeah, sure.
So
I'm following you, man.
Jesus. So we're walking and we're like
every Democrat
starting.
Listener we had just shut us off.
That's fine.
Do you think you have any Democrat listeners?
Yeah, for sure.
Think so?
Yeah, Meteor fans. Just kidding. Easy. Just kidding.
Four.
I'm kidding.
Four of them. We stole.
Kidding. Just too easy. You gotta remember, I get froggy and say shit I don't mean. I love Steve Rinella. I'm not going to lie. I do. Vote him as president for hunting. But goddamn, you got to admit that was kind of funny. You get
that was good.
Chuckle a little bit.
That was good. Can't argue it. So
you could, but
I'd be wrong.
So coexist sticker, you're getting lost.
And me and him.
Yeah.
I got the gun. He's just, you know, hiking along for the ride. Starting to get dark. It's raining.
I got the gun. He's
hostage
now. I
just imagine him like chasing butterflies behind you. Like, yeah, we're just hiking along.
No, it gets better. Just wait.
He's starting to hit on you.
All right.
Things are getting weird.
Let him tell the story.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Let him tell the story.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So it's starting to get dark. It's been raining. It's not like it's not snow, but it's like 40. So it's cold enough that you're wet and it's uncomfortable and it's starting to get dark. So he's starting to fucking panic. He's like, we're lost, and I can't really argue with him.
Right.
Like, yeah, we're pretty fucking lost. So he's like, you got to get rid of the fucking meat. He's like, there's fucking bears out here. You have to get rid of the meat. So he like, I mean, I was 18. He's like my dad's buddy. Like he's like in his like 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
I'm like
yeah.
I can't really argue with him because he thinks like we're going to die. And I'm like, okay. Sure. So, you know, we tried like the 3-shot freaking distress deal and yeah, nobody came to save us. So that's some bullshit.
How long have you guys been walking at this point?
A couple hours.
No shit.
Yeah.
So you're saying 3-shot, like 3 shots with your rifle?
Yeah.
Like,
so then I'm like thinking, I was like, yeah, let's not try that again because I only got so many shells. And if there really is a bear,
yeah.
We probably want to save a couple of them.
For sure.
And so like we ditched, like I thought I ditched all the meat, but you know, we end up having some, but thought I got rid of all the meat. I was like, I'm making sure I keep my hide and my antlers. I'm like, you go fuck yourself. I'm not leaving that.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, I came here to shoot deer. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So we realized like, okay, it's about dark. Like we're spending the night out on the mountain here. Like just let's prepare for it. Like suck it up, cupcake. Like
you came to that point saying, hey, we're fucking lost. We're staying here.
Oh yeah. Like we, I mean, there's
how horrifying, man. Just cause it's like,
I think I was young enough and naive enough that I wasn't that worried, but he was fucking losing his shit. So
bears is the only thing that changes this entire situation. Yeah. No bears, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But
yeah, listen up, Kane Brown. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
So just sleep. You wake up, it's daylight. You're like, oh, I'm going to walk that way for 100 yards.
So it's raining and I'm like, okay, there's no trees. There's like bushes and shrubs. Like it's nothing big. So we just try to hunker under one of them. And I had like one of those in my pack, one of those like solar blankets. So I'm just like trying to stay dry under that
piece of tinfoil.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Giant piece of tinfoil. So I'm just hunkered under that, laying down, and like I end up falling asleep.
Do you have lights or anything?
I had a flashlight in my pack that was buried at you know, under some shit, but it was, you know, we weren't really worried about lights. Like, we knew we were kind of stuck. So
yeah.
I'm starting to fall asleep. He's freaking panicking because he hears me like breathing heavy, like snoring kind of. And he's like, he's having a panic attack. And he's like, this motherfucker's sleeping. So we start hearing something flying over. I'm like, wakes me up. I'm like, who the hell's flying? We're in the middle of nowhere. It's pitch black
like
at
Kodiak
night.
Kodiak Island.
Yeah. And we realize it's a helicopter. So like, oh my God, somebody's out here looking for us. So like, I just like, my first thought is just like wave the blanket. Maybe they'll see like some sort of reflection.
Sure.
And then the chopper's gone. I'm like, fuck. So like while they're gone, I'm like digging through my pack, find my flashlight in the bottom, and it comes, starts flying around again. So I shine the flashlight and then they come and land. And they said like with their like infrared goggles, they could see a lit match like 5 miles away.
No shit.
So they could probably see the body heat coming off you, to be honest with you.
I don't know if it was light or if it was like thermal, whatever. Right, they had, right. But they just said like the light from a lit match, they could see like five miles away.
Okay. So they were looking for you.
Yeah. Because like they had solar, they had like satellite internet or phones or whatever back at camp. So like my dad and the guide went back when we weren't there. They're like, oh shit. So they went back and like they called the Coast Guard and they come and they land.
And I can only imagine your dad like freaking the fuck out, like, oh shit.
Yeah, like when I got back there, he said, he's like, as soon as we found out you guys were okay, like we drank a bottle of whiskey and so hungover the next day.
To be honest with you though, your old man was probably freaking out more than you two were.
He probably thought because you had meat on your
yeah, I would be, yeah.
Yeah, I guarantee you.
Because you probably imagine the worst, right?
He was having a stroke.
Oh, fuck.
Well, his 18-year-old son's with a granola hiker out there, and he's like,
just gonna do
with
no
a bunch
no
of
good.
Meat just walking around.
Yeah, that's scary.
But, like, so they land, and, like, the guy, you know, I don't know, not the pilot or the, yeah, the is it the pilot on a helicopter?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
The guy that drives the helicopter?
Yeah, but, like, it wasn't him. Pilot. It was one of the, like, the crew or whatever comes over, and he's like, you got, like, any animals or whatnot? And I was like, yeah, I got, you know, a deer in my pack. He's like, well, you're going to have to leave that here. You know, we're not allowed to let you take that on the chopper. So I tell him, I don't know. I guess I'm not sure what
the rules
are.
I'll just stay here with it.
That's what I told him. I was like, well, tell my dad and the guide where I'm at because I'm staying here. I came here to shoot a deer. I'm not leaving it here. I'm like, this is what I came here for. And he's like, looked at me, like paused for a second. He's like, let me talk to the pilot. And he comes back. He's like, okay, it's all right. He's like, you can bring it on. So like my dad said, they talked to the Coast Guard and they were like, your son's fucking crazy. Like I've never gone to save anybody. And they've told me, well, fuck you. Leave me here and come back.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'll do the same. Like, I'll just wait here.
Man.
It was crazy.
That's fucking hardcore right there.
That is scary,
that,
man.
That is scary, though.
The good thing was is in the bottom of my pack, I ended up finding, like, tenderloins in the heart and the liver. So for Thanksgiving, we cooked all that up, and we still had some meat.
That's awesome. We could tell you weren't that worried about it because you actually fell asleep that night.
I was at the time. Knowing what I know now, I probably would be more.
Well, when you're 18, you still feel like you're invincible, man.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But
that's true.
So did you?
That's the type of attitude that either gets you killed or keeps you alive out there, you know.
So did you miss the creek or?
Yeah, what was the deal? Happened?
How far off track did you actually get?
The guy explained it seemed really easy.
I thought it was really easy too until we got lost. We never really got the. Found out the real details of what happened.
You didn't look at the guy and been like, yo,
what the fuck?
Bro? I hit that creek and I was in the middle of nowhere.
That dude probably lives with guilt to this day because he's like, oh, shit, there wasn't a creek that was the other direction.
Did you ever ask him, like, does that happen often?
I didn't ask him.
I bet you that dude never gave anybody vague directions again.
Yeah. Well, my dad's buddy stayed in the motel in Kodiak. Like, I flew back out to camp. He stayed in the motel because he's like, if I go back there, I'm going to fucking kill him. I'm not going back.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was like,
oh, really?
Fuck
wow.
Man.
That's a good story, man.
That's crazy.
Dan, have you ever done any, like, I know you've never done, like, Alaska crazy shit like that, or not that I'm aware of anyway.
Yeah, I slept in my backyard.
What, have you ever done any, like, Western hunts or anything other than whitetail hunting or anything like that?
Yeah, this one time in PA, no, not like that. No, definitely not.
So, like, bear hunting in PA or anything like that, or?
Well, I mean, we bear hunt, but, I mean, the whole time you're bear hunting, you pretty much have a rifle or a sidearm, so you're not too concerned about it.
Right.
We have gotten to, one time with my girlfriend, we got into a little situation. We were actually checking cameras. This was early. I'm going to say September. It was before season. And we were, like I said, checking the trail cameras. And somehow we got, I believe what we did was we got in between two males that were fighting over the food source.
Oh, no kidding.
Flat, yeah. And I didn't have a gun at the time. So I had a bear spray, which that shit, no.
No, get rid of that. That's garbage.
Not good, huh?
No, because if it's windy, what do you do?
It blows back in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
You might as well just turn around and spray it right in your face.
Yeah, so the Bears, we got our selves out of the bear situation there, and we were just kind of joking around, like, oh, I've never used one of these things. Let me spray it and see what happens. And it was windy, and it came right back at us. And I was like, oh, good thing we didn't fucking do this. We just got ourselves.
They just can't see how a bear's
Have you ever been to any other states to, like, hunt any other species or anything like that yet, besides bear at home?
Yeah, well, mostly just whitetail and PA. So I hunt PA, New York, and New Jersey, primarily for whitetail and bear. Jersey's fucking weird with the whole bear thing, but
really
other than that, like I said earlier in the episode, Kentucky for whitetail. Out to Colorado for elk.
Yeah,
so that's on deck to go back for elk again.
That's a tough hunt.
It is it sucks,
because that's when you went to Colorado, that's like when we first met you, because you're like, hey, I heard you guys like yingling, and then that's when you dropped it off at my house that one year.
Oh yeah, I remember that now.
He's going down right down 80, he's like, you're not too far off 80, are you? I'm like, no, 10 minutes. Like, all right, I'm gonna drop some yingling off. I'm like,
I remember that now.
Yeah, some guy from PA just dropping beer.
I do remember you talking about that. Well, let's chat with the podcast. I want to see what unit you went to and stuff like that. We'll compare notes and stuff.
Yeah, I have a really good muley unit too that you might want to know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I do too. Okay. So we'll compare notes because it's. I want to go back. It's just. I'm going to go back the next year or two, I think, for elk.
I have a hookup too, so
we could probably make some shit happen. See,
yeah, we could definitely make things happen.
Okay. We'll figure it out because Clint's been hounding me. I've been building Utah points and Colorado points for Mealy and Elk, and he's been hounding me to go with
Are the Wyoming points done? Can you buy the bonus point now?
They're over now, I believe.
Fuck, I missed that
I
one.
Think it end, don't quote me, the early October, I think they were done.
Is that what it is?
I think. God damn. I'd get on a check because I don't know my shit. Like,
I think Wyoming was October 31st.
Oh, it is?
My dad's been putting in for Wyoming Bighorn, and I was supposed to remind him when
you got 4 days.
Okay, yeah, I get on and
look at that now.
We can look because as soon as they open, I hurry up and just get it done. That way, I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean,
some of the Western states are expensive, dude.
Expensive and confusing.
So, do you apply to any of the ones you have to actually buy a license just to get points?
Yeah.
Like some of those
Utah's like that.
Is it? I think I have one or two for Utah. I can't remember because I was trying to build Arizona. Yeah. Arizona was one you have to buy a license, and it's like you're in it for like $200 just to get a point.
Well, the way you can work Utah is you buy your license, and before your license expires the following year and the points open back up, then you buy your points again. So you only have to buy a license every other year.
Yeah, Arizona is the same way.
Mm-hmm. I want to put in New Mexico, I think, and I don't know if it's changed, but last I knew it was 50-50 odds for like elk. So like either draw or you don't for residents and non-residents.
Yeah, I think Damien, we were talking with him the other day, and it's like, I don't think it's just like a straight like lottery. So so it's there's no point, so everybody has equal shot.
Either unless draw or you don't.
I think he said if you go with the outfitter, you get like a little increase in
percentage. Yeah, so I think they've already... I don't know how this all works. So I think because they've already bought the tags, like they have.
It's an allotment. Is it allotment how it works?
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. So I think because they're making their living off of it, so they give them, if you're with an outfitter, you have a better shot.
Yep.
But
I've heard that too with New Mexico.
I want to kill an elk. I don't care if it's public land with an outfitter or whatever opportunity I get. I want to kill one, man.
Hell yeah. With a bow?
Yeah. Just one big one, dude. And of course I want to go back and do it again, whatever, but like, one good bull with a bow would just
be a notch in the belt would be nice.
Yeah, just be like, I feel like I'd just be like, I'm good with that.
Hell yeah, because that shit's tough, dude.
Oh yeah,
like in where I was in Colorado, we were hunting like 12,000 feet pretty much the whole time.
That's brutal.
Yeah, like my buddy, I have a buddy who lives out there. That's the hookup.
Mm-hmm.
He lives at like 6,600 feet.
Yeah,
and I like driving out there helped because, you know, if you fly from the East Coast where you're at sea level pretty much.
It's a shock.
It's a shock, yeah. So driving, it helped me a little bit, but still that 6,000. I wasn't too bad till I got to about 9,000. Then I started to realize, like, my body was kind of, like, shutting down.
Yeah, yeah. We drove out there and stayed there for a day and a half, really, before we hit it hard hunting. Like, slept out in it and all that. And we were camping at 9, and we got up to about 12. I know we did some hikes where we were like at high 11s.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oh, yeah, it kicked our asses.
It's terrible. Did you get the oxygen, the little oxygen tank?
Yep, we bought them.
Dude, lifesavers.
It really is. And I felt like a bitch using that stuff. We get to the top, and we were with the Buckstrom boys. We're like, let me get a pull off that. I'm like, all right.
And like, it makes dude. You feel good.
And like they were breathing heavy.
Let me get a pull off that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's like it's a bottle of whiskey or something, right. You know? You
yeah. saw the pictures 2 years ago from the Marco Polo sheet my dad went for. Remember that big, big ram?
Yeah,
I think so.
I remember that.
Tajikistan, yeah. he shot that at 15,000 feet.
Holy shit.
So they went up like to a certain level, spent the entire day, then they go up to camp, and then you stay for like a day to acclimate, and then you like go up and hunt. And like I told him,
15,000.
Yeah.
Like I wonder what is the average? Like if you say like you go up 9,000 feet, how long do you have to stay there to get acclimated to it?
I don't know.
I wonder what like the.
Well, like 14er is like a term in Colorado. They have like the most 14,000 peaks or whatever in the country or something like that. Like that's like say you hiked a 14er. That's like a big deal. Yeah, I don't know shit about shit.
No, but I'm saying like if you like get acclimated at that. At that feet
a
above
couple
sea
days,
level.
But yeah, you're never going to get days. Used to it, you right. know?
And it's right. the opposite, too. So, like, when you come back, when I came back from Colorado, when I was home in PA, I felt like I could just go forever.
I bet.
Because yeah. I had so much oxygen. Mm-hmm. It was great. But right. it only lasted a couple of days, and then I was back to, you know,
yeah, you
puffing
get,
and puffing.
Just adjust.
Just yeah. fat and out of shape.
That's exactly.
15,000 yeah. feet.
I'm a piece of shit. I was watching the Eastman's elevated, like...
Brian Barney?
I think I might have heard it on his podcast, but I was watching the TV show where the I think it was like Guy Eastman. Mm-hmm. They went out there to shoot the Marco Polo.
Yeah,
and one of the guys that was with them got forget what it's called.
Elevation
it's
like, sickness.
No, it's like worse. It's like where you go too you go up too fast and like your lungs
like
start
collapse.
Like. Yeah, like, I think you start getting, like, blood in your lungs. So if you don't immediately, like, ascend or descend, like, you'll die. So they said, like, Jesus. On there, I was watching, it might have been on the podcast they were talking about it. They said, like, this is going to sound funny. I told my dad, he thought I was fucking crazy, too. They said, taking Cialis helps prevent that.
So you just got to... It's a hard on the whole time while you're climbing.
Raging
boner. So all your blood's going down there instead of your lungs.
Because it's actually it's pumping more blood is what it's doing.
It somehow it like opens up like your blood vessels and it does something.
Really?
And then like
you gonna keep going?
I mean,
oh yeah,
you're just peak performance. He looked into it and I think he took some out there.
You have to wear Sitka pants while you do it.
He did have Sitka on. He did.
Well, I knew that. See.
But, I don't know what would be more uncomfortable.
I wonder
walking
just like
up a mountain with a boner or fucking
I wonder
collapsed
if just
lung.
A blood flow thing.
I'm going to take the boner.
It was. I don't know the science behind it, but those guys apparently know what they're doing. And I told my dad and he
or they're just creeps.
It could be that too.
Probably that.
But that was one of the
was
things.
Was it your dad's buddy at the Coke this bumper sticker?
No, that wasn't him.
Oh.
Well, someone's like, hey,
that's crazy.
Descend. Or are you about to take a Cialis? You're like, just give me Cialis.
Give me all of them.
Give me four.
That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. There's probably something behind that.
Yeah, I mean,
it has to be, right? They're not just like giving dudes Cialis.
He was just happy. It only took him one day to get a sheep because he said he would have died if he had to go up there again.
15. Yeah, that's nuts. That is crazy.
So who's the first guy that went? I have a pill for this.
Right,
like.
There's got to be a guy for that.
Yeah, like, how do you figure that out? It was probably, like, they figured out a way to do it, and they figured probably the easiest way to get it was, like, because Cialis has it or something. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? But that's funny. It's interesting.
Just a bunch of dudes.
If you have a boner for more than 4 hours, I'll call.
Just a bunch of dudes chasing elks
call
with
a
boners.
Doctor.
Call yeah. a doctor, you know.
This podcast went from public land hunting.
To boots.
Boots. To my doe and we talked about coyotes, to you getting lost in Alaska, to boners.
To boners.
Great podcast.
That's a good podcast.
Good mix.
Have you ever had boner discussion on the podcast before?
I don't
Not
think so.
That aggressively.
I mean, we said 6 of midnight a couple times, you know, but
Steve
like
probably would have liked to talk
rager.
About it a little bit and here and there, but we wouldn't let him, you know. But now he's got his own gig. He can talk about him all he wants. He's on Grindr or whatever. This is him. I'm not here to judge. But no, man, I hope you guys close the deal on an Illinois buck, a good Illinois buck.
Yeah, me
bucks.
Too.
And
I called it. I said you were going to see deer the first night.
You did. You did. And we did.
Like an hour later, he's got that.
Yeah, when you sent snaps out early, I'm like, oh, shit, like, they're already on them.
I was surprised, like, when they first came out. Well, here's a little PSA for the Eastern people. Your guys' deer are way bigger than our deer, like body size.
In general, yeah.
Yeah, so when this deer was coming through the woods, I couldn't see the rack. I just saw a body, and I literally just picked my bow. I was like, oh, this is going to be the shortest fucking trip ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came out, and I was like, oh, something doesn't, like, match here. Like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? And, yeah, he just the deer are just much, much bigger.
So when you saw my doe hanging, did you feel like that's a really big deer?
No, not really. They're pretty average, but it just seems like the bucks are, like, filled out, I would say.
Filled out.
Mm-hmm. What would you have done if you shot a buck right away?
First night.
Film Sean.
Get drunk.
No,
yeah. Yeah. Like, my buck that was hanging or in the ranger, did you feel like his body was big or think about normal?
Yeah, no, he was pretty big.
Yeah.
He was big. About the same. I thought the same with the doe. I thought that was, like, about normal. But the buck, he was tank. He was good.
Yeah.
Because what's, like, a big buck out toward you guys? Like, a 135 or so?
As far as, like, inches-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I've been hunting for a long time and know a lot of guys have been doing the same thing. And I know of one guy who shot a above a 150 with a bow. And he shot a 161, and that's, you know,
big.
A lot of years of hunting combined.
Yeah, that'd be like killing a 190 big. Here.
Yeah.
Probably,
exactly. Right? Yeah, yeah. I would say our 130s are probably like your 150s. Yeah. You know, we have big deer, but it's just there's so much more room for them to hide. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just say PA and Illinois have the same amount of, you know, Pope and Youngs. It just, you know, PA is just three times the size, and we don't have the ag that you guys have.
Yeah.
So if you look at a map and, you know, 70% of it's ag, back home 70% is hardwoods.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of, that effectively takes out all of your glassing,
mm-hmm.
all of that. It's boots on the ground. So you have to get in there with trail cameras or.
We have more, I always say this, deer are fringe animals, and we have more fringes.
And that's what we hunt. We hunt fringes too, but it's more. Mature hardwoods to pockets of pines, cedars,
right,
you know, honeysuckle, stuff like that. Do you have rhododendron out here? I didn't see any.
What?
Rhododendron?
I don't know shit about, I don't know names of plants or anything.
Is that a drug?
Like, I should.
I've never
heard of it. Can we smoke that or what is it?
you could roll it up for sure. It's a long leaf like that.
Isn't rhododendron like what people plant in their yards?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
R.
R. Rhododendron.
I like to buy a vowel.
Are you going to the mall today?
Yeah.
Rhododendron?
His word was couch.
Rhododendron.
Couch.
Didrin?
C-O-R.
Are you going to the mall today?
Well, you got some good deer, though.
There you go.
Oh,
year.
Yeah. We got some good deer. And that's, like, another thing with the whole private public.
This bush thing?
Yes.
Can you have that out? Can you pull it up here or not?
I don't think so.
Rhododendron.
Say that for a rainy day.
Is it purple?
Yes. That's the flower, yeah. Welcome to Pennsylvania.
No, we don't have that.
You have that in the woods?
I've never seen that.
I've never seen that.
And that shit gets so fucking thick, dude. So that's where the bears like to hang out. When we're doing bear drives, so we have mountains. And
you do bear drives?
Yeah. Bear drives, deer, like, so
like deer drives, yeah, where you just push them through the woods.
Yeah,
it's just like you have one guy with a bunch of meat on him.
Yeah. No, don't. We drag donuts instead of dragging like tanks. You drag donuts.
Just run through there.
If we have these,
just pick the village idiot.
It's not to the point where I've been like
12 donuts behind a four wheeler.
No, we don't have them, but I've never.
If you have them, it's probably somebody's landscaping.
That's probably what it is.
Because that's how it is. Like, I've never heard of that out in the woods, even like where I hunt.
We ain't got that.
And we have another. It's mountain laurel. Which is similar to that, but it's a smaller leaf.
We got that.
That's actually the state like bush, I think.
Oh, really? That shit gets really thick.
It does.
The state bush.
Yeah, so you get several, I don't even know, stems off the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And it gets super, super thick. And I guess we're kind of jumping around, but for like bear hunting, on the side of a mountain, you get rhododendron and mountain laurel. You literally have to walk on the stalks or like on the bases of these things to get through the, you know, the side of the mountain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's crazy. And when you're doing drives, like the bears and even the deer do this too. They'll get out in front, and this obviously is for rifle primarily, but that's, you know, rifle's huge by, you know, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
So the deer and the bear, they'll get out in front of you and they'll stop and turn around and listen because everyone's like, yo, you know, hey bear, hey buck, you know, doing the whole drive bullshit.
Yeah.
And hey, they'll deer. Listen to you. Yeah.
They'll listen. Stop and then go behind you.
Yes, they see. They're like, okay, there's a gap there and there's a gap there. And they'll just sit, either sit and let you pass by them or go back through.
No shit.
Yeah,
we used to have deer do that when we did deer drives growing up.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same all over the country.
I would be different, I'm sure, deer, because you guys can do party hunting.
Yeah.
Or used to. I don't know if you still can.
Yeah, we still can. Like, there's multiple times where you'd be walking, you know, I'd be pushing, there'd be sitters.
That's the one thing Iowa fucks up on, in my opinion, versus
Iowa. One thing I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
You shouldn't, party hunting should not be a thing. But.
No. I mean, I grew up doing it. I didn't know any better. True. That's just what we did.
I did, too.
No, there'd be multiple times where I'd be pushing, and all of a sudden, you know, the sitters would be like, oh, deer, deer. And you look behind you, and there's deer running away from you. You'd walk right, they'd be bedded down, you'd walk right by them. As soon as you walk by them, they'd jump up and head back the other way.
Well, that's why most big bucks survive. They just know their way around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's interesting, like, comparing, like, how, you, like, just the different plants that you guys have versus what we have here.
Yeah. I mean, I've spent the last couple of days, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what the hell you guys have, what the deer are feeding on.
Cause,
you know, that's obviously, that's what we're looking for is their feed.
Sure.
For sure. Food.
And, like, all your guys' major crops seem like they're all gone. They've all been picked. Yeah. Back home, they're not. We still have all the corn standing, all the beans are still standing. Like, that's pretty much the same. But as far as once you get into, like the green browse and stuff like that, it's all different plants.
For sure. It's interesting as hell. Well, I hope you guys have some good luck, man. I think you guys are doing it right. You'll figure.
You guys will kill something for
sure.
We got
some time.
Yeah.
We got a lot of time. So.
And we'll hopefully, time allows, we can do a follow-up podcast for you guys to leave.
That would be awesome.
Or if not, just another BS one at the very minimum. Do we miss anything?
I don't think so.
One thing
we noticed, do the deer out here shit? Because I find tracks all over the place, and I've found like three piles of deer shit.
Oh,
back
really?
Home, there's deer shit everywhere. Like we were talking today. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. What do they do?
They poop. I've never seen any.
I've seen a lot of deer shit.
I've
never seen deer poop before. I don't
like in the fire like. Lanes. There's tracks everywhere,
but no poop,
no shit anywhere.
Oh, no
I
poop.
I find shit everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
I am really surprised the lack of sign there is here. That was probably the biggest thing is lack of sign. And that includes everything, you know, scrapes, rubs, you know, shit, whatever.
You know what? Maybe I'm missing something, but I'm getting along fine at the same time. Scrapes I hit like this time of year, right? Like I killed my buck this year over a scrape, and I'll tell it. I was going to tell it story on this one, but I'll wait. We'll do a whole nother deal on that. But I don't really like hit like rub lines too heavily. Like I will, but like I just think a lot of that is like stuff that's already been done, and they're on to the next thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I would focus more on scrapes, but
absolutely,
yeah, because that's almost like a revisited thing.
Yeah, they're not refreshing a rub once it's a rub. It's a rub, and they're done with it.
Once the velvet's off,
You know they're in there. I'm not going to ignore it. Like I'm taking note.
Yeah, that's not top of the list, though.
Yeah, but it's not like rub line. I have to sit here like
until you see a buck make a rub, you know, on a tree or something. Then you see multiple bucks after that, no one else rubs that fucking tree.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just pissed off at the moment.
You just know that might be his travel pattern in that area, but you don't know that he's going to come back to revisit that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're not putting trail cameras on rubs. You're putting them on scrapes.
Yeah.
I think I look at I hunt terrain more than I hunt, like...
Sign.
Yeah. Terrain is king by us.
Mm-hmm. Terrain's going to funnel them in a direction most times.
Yeah, a funnel is always king, but...
Well, I guess... Right, a funnel, right? That's like an obvious thing, but... You know, rubs, scrapes are good, but I guess be like, okay, what I consider... Like, this is the typical fucking bullshit, like bed feed.
Yeah.
Bed to feed. Like, where can you get in between to cut them off? Or... Guess and check, and then figure it out from there.
That's mostly public land is more guess and check.
I just feel like nobody admits that.
It's like terrain. Like, what's the best way for them to get from bed to feed? Like, what are you going to think?
Everybody wants to act like they already know.
Yeah, everyone's a hero. You know,
they don't want to like admit that you have to. You don't.
You gotta
just wake up that morning knowing what they're doing. You have to figure it out and guess and check. Is the best way to do it.
It's the way I like to do it. Because you just never know. Every deer's different. He's not going to stick to what you think that you heard on whatever bullshit podcast or TikTok. Hunting show or whatever, TikTok.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a product of like the bullshit public land hunters nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you talk to like guys back home. Yeah, you talk to guys back home of hunting public land for a long time. They'll be the first to tell you like it takes a while. You got to figure everything out.
Mm-hmm. Took me four that's years to figure out a piece of private.
Yeah.
The way I figured it out.
Yep.
I've killed a deer there every year.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm a lot more calculated now.
Yeah, that's how it is in PA. Like, so
well, that's anywhere, you know. But
and I hunt both. I hunt private, too. I have a really good piece of private in PA, and I spend 90% of my time in public land because the deer are bigger there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that's what, you know, if you're trying to shoot a big deer, you got to go to where the big deer are.
That's right. Well, that's like I always say, I'm kidding around. Like, I have nothing against guys that are hunting up north or down south or out east or wherever you're hunting. If, like, you're bitching about the deer,
yeah,
go find where deer are. And I don't care if you have to leave the state. Like, for me, I'm not going to leave deer to find other deer.
No, not when you have the deer you're shooting.
Right.
That makes what? Sense.
Right.
You're not going to go somewhere that's going to find caliber deer.
Leave deer that I've put the work in to find deer and pass deer and all that to go to public to try and prove a point just so I can look cool in a fucking Facebook group.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, 100%.
Yeah. I could just be like everybody else on the D team for whatever pro staff and kill deer on private and say it was on public.
Right.
And I'm not naming names, but... You know who you are.
Yeah, and when those people talk, you can
hashtag
tell.
Hashtag public land buck.
Yeah, it's like, you can tell. Is it?
Yeah, you know that. They just don't know.
And I'm not assuming I'm knowing when I say that, but I'm not going to put anybody on blast because I don't want to, you know. I'm not trying to.
It is what it is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's the first one all podcast.
I had to throw it out there. Hey,
128.
I had to drop one.
Hey, world-class timing.
It's always funny, like the ones who talk the most always know the least about that specific thing. That you're
just like the
about.
Dudes who are barking the loudest are the last dudes that want to fight.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
What's up, Eric? You bitch. You sit back down and get on that mic.
Yeah, Eric's probably the one barking the loudest.
Eric did nothing but go to the bathroom for the record.
Eric's always barking the loudest, but he's got nothing to show for it.
Yeah. That's what we thought.
Bitch.
I will smack that mustache right off your face.
Hey, you should dye that thing just ginger red.
Just make
that the most soulless mustache of all time.
You need to take it back in the day when you just did like jet black.
Just jet black.
Just
it.
For men.
Dude. Straight caterpillar.
Like, oh, I had buddies in college. Like for baseball, like I played baseball in college and we weren't allowed to have facial hair because our coach didn't have facial hair. So you have a mustache and then you had your sideburns had to be like even with your ears, like, way the fuck up here.
Fuck all that.
So we had a couple kids that would grow a mustache, and they would just ferment that shit, looking that's like straight Doug porn
star. That's what
he's
doing in college.
Doug couldn't grow it thick enough, so he'd dye it black, so it looked a lot thicker.
No, it was there. The color wasn't there, so I just gave little steroids.
You comb it in? Steroids. Just mustache enhancement?
Dude.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time we were going out to the bars or something. He's like, hold on a second. I got finished dyeing my mustache.
No, I never did.
How long have you had your mustache?
He's been off and on for fucking 12 years.
I don't remember. Did you have it when we first met?
No.
No. No, I did not.
So have you kept the mustache because it became a personality?
No, I just kept it because that's all I can grow.
It looks dope, though. It's a great stash.
It's a good look.
Speaking of the stash, can it talk for us for what, you know, predictions?
Ooh,
on the-
you have you guys have a prediction, though. you too?
It doesn't have to be for this trip, just in general.
No,
just in
it's got to be for this trip.
Okay.
Well, it's got to be for this
Dan,
trip.
Fantastic, I gotta fantastic point. Thank you
so
for
So you're here
that
till
up.
When do you leave?
Sunday. Monday at the latest.
We'll just say Monday.
So Monday. Fuck. You're really
they're
putting you on the motherfucking spot here, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that.
You wouldn't pull up the deer cast, make a little
the worst report? Part is for predictions. Like, I got to give you some kills because I don't want you to sit there like, oh, fuck.
Look at him. He's rubbing
yeah,
it.
Like you,
he's like rubbing it and
that,
chewing
that's
on
the bad
shit
thing about predictions is like Doug always has to give a kill date.
Exactly. Like, it can't be like, hey,
sorry,
Eric,
it's not this
you're
year's
not
going to
kill
me.
It'd be like if you went to a palm reader's like, you going to die next week, man. You'd be like, wow, what the fuck? Fuck this palm reader. And then
it's like going, it's like going to, what do you call them? The people who talk to dead people?
Psychic?
Oh, yeah, they still love you.
Yeah, no shit.
Are you here? Yeah.
All right.
You saying your readings are bullshit?
You leaving No. They got some truth to it.
He's been making money off this shit.
Yeah, with Make Up Your Mind.
You've been paying me.
Side hustle.
I saw your Craigslist ad, you whore.
Yeah, who uses fucking Craigslist?
Mostly
anymore,
quit my though. Job here soon.
All right, let's see. Spit it out.
I'll give Sean. I'm feeling. For some reason, I'm feeling Sunday.
Okay. Oh, I'll go right to the wire. I'm good with last that.
Right day. To the wire. Right to the wire.
Sunday, huh?
I feel like Dan has got a little Thursday or Friday in him.
Okay.
I just say Dan Thursday.
You were?
Yep.
Oh. Thursday. What's the
you got, little, you got a little something in you?
I'm feeling froggy.
Because you don't, so shut up.
Let me try some on for size.
Touch it. Your mustache.
Stroke it a little bit.
I just trimmed it today. Well, my barber did. What if I give a prediction and I'm more accurate than yours? Then what happens? What happens to the
rumors? Doug's got to leave. Ooh. He's out. He's out.
Do I not do this to mix up?
You bring back Steve.
Then I quit the podcast.
You got to bring back Steve.
How about this? If I'm correct, we all quit the podcast and give it to Steve.
Okay.
Okay.
The whole thing goes to
Steve.
Well,
easy.
Him and his turtle can co-host it.
Is that thing still alive?
No, I would never do that. People have been asking. I think it's MIA. It said his parents' house or something, living rent-free.
I think it's I don't know if it's even alive anymore.
It's bullshit.
It's because I ate him.
everything I said
you
about him taking
You ever have turtle soup?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I never had
That's big out by us, man. Snapping really? Turtle
Is it?
Soup.
I've never had
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
It's delicious.
What's it taste like?
What about African long neck soup? Because that's, I think, what his turtle was.
It's probably in the meat eater cookbook, I would assume.
Probably is. Yeah.
Everything's in there. Yeah.
Probably right. Bet you listen to a podcast and find out a recipe. It's Tuesday, the day of the recording.
Yep.
Sean's going to kill one Thursday morning.
Ooh, I like that.
You're not even going day. You're going time of the day.
At 8:45.
Wow. Jesus.
Ooh.
What's up, Doug?
Write that down.
What are you, a median over here?
Can you get $1, Bob?
I don't like what's going on.
Oh, he's writing it down.
He's writing it down.
You got competition, man.
Well, you got to write down what Doug said, too.
You're talking to the OG of the Casey's Call-Out.
So that's is that a breakfast pizza, Casey's Call-Out?
Dude.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be eating.
That's a breakfast pizza Call-Out.
Yeah.
That's a breakfast
pizza. Have you guys had the cheesy hash brown bite?
Yes. Yesterday. Yes. Oh my God. Look.
Phenomenal.
I downloaded the app for the points before yeah. we
oh,
came
you
out
gotta
here.
Do that.
Shit got me 5 cents off on a gallon of gas.
Yeah. Damn right.
My guy.
All right. Sean, Thursday, 8:45 a.m.
Fuck.
Did you write down what Doug's predictions, though?
No, I
didn't.
I gave
Sean
Sunday morning.
What did you say for Sean? I'm did hit him first.
Sunday morning.
Just write Doug Sunday morning, October. What would that be?
Okay,
31st, right?
Well, I like the
November
morning.
1st.
I like the morning because then that gives us
you get them out,
the option
you know.
To you know maybe get a recap in.
Dan will be done by then.
He'll be filming.
I'll be filming. Yeah.
Helping drag.
I'm okay with that.
I'm feeling a little different prediction, but similar. In my head, I'm trying to channel your mustache's energy from over here.
I see you staring. Yeah, I see you staring at it. I
can't see it behind that mic. It's thick right now. I gotta look into it a little bit.
That's what 2C is, bro.
Okay. You gotta remember too. Our standards are a little bit lower than what you guys are.
That's fine. Hey, as long as you kill, it doesn't matter what time.
Yeah,
of day.
If you kill, you kill.
So this might not be what you want to hear, but unlike Doug, I'm real.
Hey, no, you're not.
I'm just kidding. I feel Sunday as well.
Just look up at
They're him. Awkwardly looking like, each other in the eyes.
I'm trying to battle these predictions. I'm trying to feel what you've been feeling, you know, all these
You're
years.
You're trying to look into his soul?
It's like a gut feeling, you know?
I'm feeling Sunday.
You got to just, like, picture him.
I'm writing it down, and then
if
I'm going to
say Sunday morning again.
Behind him.
Sunday at 5 p.m.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that, actually.
Look, we'll go home happier than shit, both of us. That's fine.
Only
problem is on kill on Sunday, that means we're taking, you know, hind quarters, front quarters. We're taking unprocessed
I'm okay
meat home.
That.
That's the only bad thing.
I'm definitely okay
so
with that.
We got Doug says for Sean,
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. Oh, I was mixed up. I switched them. Yeah. I said for Sean, Thursday, 8:45 a.m.
Oh, that's okay.
You said Thursday?
I said for Sean, I said Thursday, 8:45 a.m. Okay. Doug said for Dan, when did you say? Friday. I said Sunday, 5 p.m.
What's today? Tuesday?
Yes.
All right. I'm good with that.
I calculated in knowledgeable. So yours is mystical. Mine's knowledge-based.
No, mine's got stuff behind it. I can't explain it. There's really stuff behind it.
What stuff?
It's been working.
Hair follicles?
It's been working for a while, so I'm just going to keep going with it.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. I give them both Thursday.
Hey, hard to argue.
Both Thursday?
Damn, that'd be cool.
Both Thursday.
That'd be sweet.
All right, I'll write that down.
Jesus,
that's Eric. A lot of dragging.
It's okay.
Eric
don't
says,
be happy drags.
That's vaguely a long good day, though.
Yeah. Both Thursday between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Think about this way.
No fucking shit, Eric.
You drag him out Thursday.
I'll give him that.
Take a good old sleep Friday, get it all done, and head out.
That'll be nice.
Well, you guys...
Get hammered drunk Thursday.
Listen, man. I'm not saying the look of the podcast is a real thing. I think it works for some people.
I think it works.
But it is a real thing.
We're both on a podcast.
I do feel better now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, between the luck of the podcast... Eating Casey's pizza and drinking Busch Light. I mean, isn't that how you kill big bucks in the Midwest?
Well, true. I think we gave you every day in between here and until you leave.
So. And this, the energy coming off that light right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to play episode 400 while we're sleeping to like just absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you guys, that's a good call. You guys are going to sleep underneath this red logo light here in the studio.
Yep.
And I think that's going to be good for you guys.
It's going to attract big bucks.
I'm feeling good.
I agree.
And we're on good sign, too. So we're just chipping away.
You guys got to figure it out.
Yeah. I like it. You guys want to close out with anything?
No, I just want to say, thanks for making us part of the team, bringing us on, and, consider you guys friends now, which, I started off as just listening to you guys. And first podcast, I was telling Kurt the other night, I didn't thought podcasts were stupid. And then I... looked up hunting podcasts. I was like, Jesus Christ, these guys just drink beer and talk hunting. It's fucking awesome.
It's your boys.
That's what we do.
It's your boys.
Three and a half, 4 years ago, whatever it was, and now I'm sitting here hanging out with you guys, crashing to the house, coming to hunt, and call you guys friends now, and just, thank you guys for what you do for the team and for us, and, we appreciate it.
Well, appreciate you, man.
We really appreciate you guys over the support over all the years, too.
Yeah. That's what it's about.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Dan, you gotta one up them.
I mean, same as Sean, really. Just, appreciate what you guys have done. And I have like an hour and 15-minute ride to work, so this helps a lot for that.
It's a haul.
Yeah. Especially working 3 to 11, coming home at night. There's nothing. Yeah.
Right. Well, we appreciate it, guys, a ton. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you guys came out. And it's cool, man. Like, I think a lot of people are going to listen from out east and might make them want to jump out and do something like what you guys
just
are doing.
Just do it. Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Even if you're staying in like bunk-ass hotels or camping or nobody or whatever. Yeah,
you're not there anyway. You're hunting. You're coming here to hunt, not sleep.
You're hunting all day.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going there to sleep. That's all you need.
Cheers, boys.
Cool.
Cheers.
Cheers. Good luck to you, fellas. Just know my prediction's going to be right. I'm cheers and clank, clank, clank,
clank, clank, clank, clank, clank, clank, clank.
All right. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.